From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Within a set of glaciers and mountains near Juneau, there's a seismic activity almost every day in the summer. They are called ice quakes, and while they're not as widely understood as earthquakes, researchers are monitoring them closely. KTOO's Matt Miller has the story.
This is a big iceberg in Antarctica, either scraping against the ocean bottom or another iceberg. It's called an ice quake. It's one of many types and probably quite similar to what has been happening almost every day for the last few weeks in the mountains and glaciers near Mount Ogden, about 40 miles directly east of Juneau. Southeast Alaska made headlines in some blogs and online news sites recently, with some people connecting them to the area's recent heat wave. Fact is, scientists have been studying them for a long, long time. They are not anything new. Seismologist Natalia Rupert of the Alaska Earthquake Center says there were 360 ice quakes in the area last year, including some significant shakers.
They were up to magnitude 3. And magnitude 3 is a quite significant signal that some of those ice quakes were reported to be felt in Juneau. So those were quite large.
This year, the ice quake started in May, with a big spike in activity starting 4 days before late June's heat wave in southeast Alaska. For those of you who might be new to ice quakes or glaciology, let's get a few things out of the way first. Scientists can't see or feel the quakes themselves, so they use seismometers. That's the same tool or piece of equipment that they use to detect earthquakes and measure their intensity.
Ice is always moving, ice is always deforming and cracking, and every time it moves, deforms, or cracks, it creates some energy that propagates in a form of seismic waves, and our seismic sensors are able to record that energy.
Ice quakes actually may be caused by many different things. A glacier scrapes against the bedrock, or a crevasse might open up. In Greenland and Antarctica, giant icebergs slowly breaking away from glaciers create vibrations that can be detected around the world. In Antarctica, scientists detected seismic activity which revealed how a giant river of ice lurches ahead into the ocean every 12 hours as the tide rises and falls. So, how do scientists know the difference between an earthquake and an ice quake when they're looking at the data? Turns out that data looks and even sounds different. You know those squiggly and jumpy lines on a seismometer graph as it records an earthquake? If you were to convert that to a sound file, the magnitude 9 earthquake in Japan in 2011 would sound like this. While ice quakes, like this calving iceberg in Greenland, don't have a lot of high frequencies and they start more gradually. Earthquake. Icequake. Earthquake. Icequake. Hear the difference? Glacial seismologist Rick Astor of Colorado State University says they've actually known about icequakes around Juneau, Wright Glacier, and Mount Ogden for decades. As the glacial ice flows down the valleys, Astor says friction and obstructions can slow it down. But then temperatures rise every spring and summer, and snow melt and rainfall increases.
The seasonal influx of water into the glacier can make it more likely to slip. And in this case, the annual cycle of melting water and water getting under the glacier drives a seasonality to the occurrence of these ice quakes as the glacier slips at its base.
Astor says there are even practical applications for seismometers to detect ice quakes created by glacial outburst floods.
This is happening in Iceland now, for example, where they have enormous glacier floods, and the seismometers can detect when the water is coming out of the ice cap before it appears on the surface.
That was actually done very close to Juneau's Mendenhall Glacier a few years ago. A temporary seismometer was able to detect the ground shaking during a yokolop, or a glacial outburst flood because of the force of all that water gushing through cracks in the glacier. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
The first large cruise ship to visit Alaska since 2019 arrived this morning, KRBD's Eric Stone reports.
When the Serenade of the Seas ties up on Friday, it'll be the first ship to visit Ketchikan since October 5th, 2019, 21 months ago.
The fact that big ships are coming back is really just so important for the economy of Ketchikan, and I think in the entire Southeast for that matter.
That's Michelle O'Brien, the head of Ketchikan's Chamber of Commerce. Industry figures say more than half of all visitors to the state as a whole arrive on cruise ships. O'Brien says the economic boost the cruise industry brings to Ketchikan goes beyond tour operators and dock vendors. Ketchikan Visitors Bureau President and CEO Patty Mackey says the total loss to Ketchikan's economy in 2020 was upwards of $250 million.
It's passenger spending, it's the crew member purchases, it's the state and local fees, as well as the miscellaneous cruise line purchases, too. We have a business here that sells salmon to the ships.
But before they can welcome tourists aboard again, the CDC is requiring cruise lines to test their COVID-19 protocols with a so-called simulated voyage, says Cruise Lines International Association Senior Vice President Brian Salerno.
And they go through basically all the paces, you know, making sure that all of the procedures are in place, everybody knows their duties, that they know how to handle emergencies.
A Royal Caribbean representative not authorized to speak to the media says the Serenade of the Seas test voyage will carry some 300 passengers, largely Royal Caribbean employees and their guests who volunteered to serve as guinea pigs. Another 800 crew will also be aboard. Cruise lines can get around the simulated voyage requirement by mandating that at least 95% of passengers and crew are fully vaccinated against COVID-19. But Royal Caribbean told Cruise Industry News that it sees itself as a family brand, and of course young children are not yet eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine, so it's opting for the test voyage. CLIA Executive Salerno says that means there will be extra pandemic restrictions on board.
The mask requirements are going to be in place, and you know, physical distancing will be in place. So there will be some restrictions on the population density in restaurants and casinos and so forth, you know, on board the ship.
The off-ship experience will likely look a little different, too. There will simply be fewer people in port on any given day. In Ketchikan, for example, the first week of August saw 27 port calls in 2019. This year, just 7, about 75% less. David Wrightson is co-owner of Huna Travel Adventures on Chichagof Island. He says with few passengers expected this summer, the usual business model just doesn't pencil out.
We're not even going to pull the boats out for whale watching this season just because we're not seeing, you know, the numbers that would justify the expense of the increased insurances and all those things on these bigger boats.
Wrightson says he normally runs his business with 13 employees. Right now, he says he has just one. The challenges for tourism businesses don't stop there. Russell Thomas helps manage several tourism sector businesses in Ketchikan. He says without the typical passenger volume, it's difficult and costly to guarantee full-time work for his tour company staff. And the season is running later than usual. The last port call on the Alaska schedule is October 21st. And by then, the high school and college-age workers that often staff tourism businesses are back in classes.
We're just planning on, you know, utilizing the people that we have year-round, our bookkeepers and our managers and, you know, our mechanics and whoever else that we can find that can drive a boat or drive a van or narrate a tour or whatever is going to be put to work.
But while this summer's cruise season will be short, weirdly timed, and bring few passengers, it's better than nothing, and everyone's looking forward to a 2022 cruise season that looks just a bit more normal. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
An official says favorable weather conditions have allowed firefighters to bolster protections for structures even as a wildfire burning in interior Alaska had grown on the opposite end. Nearly 200 firefighters are battling the fire, parts of which had come within 100 yards of the Chena Hot Springs Resort, about 60 miles northeast of Fairbanks. Firefighters took advantage of continued cool and wet weather to complete protective measures at about 70 cabins on the south side of Chena Hot Springs Road. and had positioned themselves to be in place if the fire moves closer and poses a threat. For more on this and other news stories, you can go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.